Yeah.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for just loving us, Lord. Thank you for having us as your friend, your children. Lord, we're totally unworthy of you, but yet you called us. Lord, thank you for the people that have been called to Africa. Lord, may you bless them. May you bless the people they are just speaking to. And Lord, may the people there speak to our people. And just may it be a good fellowship. Lord, thank you for the teaching today. May it be from you and not me. Lord, guide us and direct us. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Like I said, today it is on Matthew 12, 33 through 37. So I got a question for you. Have any of you had bad fruit in your life? Maybe it's looked good on the outside, but inside it's like gross. Yeah, that makes you want to spit it out. Stephen, you had anything like that? Bad fruit? Do you don't like fruit? You do? Yeah. Well, how about good fruit? You've had good fruit? Sometimes it doesn't look good on the outside, but it tastes really good, and it makes you want more. Yeah? People can be the same way. So people can look good on the outside and have a horrible inside. Their heart's bad. So let's go ahead and look at the verse today, verse 33 in Matthew. It is, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its what? Its fruit. So speaking of that, I mean, fruit is your heart as well. In Matthew 7, 16 through 18, reads, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or from figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." And in John 15, 4 through 7, says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit for itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." So let me just think of that right there. I mean, it's, you want to be a good fruit. You want to have a good heart. Just like it says, you're not going to find bad fruit with thistles and thorns, right? So, and then I have another one in Galatians 5, 22 through 26 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ are crucified, the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So we see the results by the fruit and all the things spoken in the verse, as long as we die to self. It doesn't mean to physically, but to inwardly die. Philippians 1, 21 through 23 says, "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this means the fruit of my labor. But yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So we do want to die to ourself. To gain Christ is amazing. Once you can die to yourself, you're saying to the world, I'm living for God. A lot of times believers want to follow God, but still have a foot in the world. It's hard to walk when you have your foot stuck in muck and glue and the garbage of the world. So how can you get unstuck? Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you seek forgiveness and casting your cares upon Jesus, if you give your burdens and your stresses to God, he will give you rest. He will remove that yuck in your heart as long as you ask, as long as you seek God. In verse 34, it reads, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of abundance of the heart, of the mouth speaks. So Jesus right there was calling the scribes, the Pharisees, what? A brood of vipers. What is a brood? Anybody have an idea what a brood is? I do. I looked it up this morning. So it's a young family. It's basically a family. And serpents back in that day were considered evil. So Jesus was calling them a family of evil or family of the devil. He's not a big name caller, but they were basically trying to attack Jesus and make him look bad. In a way, Jesus is calling them the family of evil. They did not come to see glory in Jesus, but to what? To condemn him. Proverbs 15:4 in the NIV says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. We don't want to have a tongue that crushes people. We want to speak of love, right? We want to speak kindly. We want to have a soothing tongue when it comes to talking to people, especially about God. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but the fools die for lack of sense. So know what you're talking about. Isaiah 32:6 says, for the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. That's what the foolish person wants to do. They want to make you thirsty and error against the Lord. Matthew 15:8 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile a man. So what you speak normally will say what your heart says. Especially if you're driving down the road or you're riding with your parents, you may hear them get cut off by somebody, right? And then they utter something. That comes from, and nobody does that in here. Nobody does that, but they speak utterance and evil against the person that just cut them off, and that comes from that portion of your heart that's bad. The heart is bad. It's wicked, and it will deceive you. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of the mouth, but which is good for necessary edification, that which may impart grace to the hearers. So what you speak, you want to speak of grace, especially to people around you. I mean, if somebody knows that you're a Christian, do you want to speak bad? Do you want them to know love of Jesus? Are they going to hear it through uttering bad thoughts or your heart being wicked? James 3, 2 through 12 says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they may obey us. And when we turn the whole body, look up at ships. Although they are large and they are driven with fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire, of course, of nature. And it is the set of the fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and is tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Father, God and Father, and we curse men." Ouch. "Who have been made in the similitude of God," which means we are made in Christ's image, "out of the same mouth proceeding blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." Guys, we are hearing here what is to watch yourself, to speak well and to love, and don't hinder somebody with a spiteful tongue. I mean, like I was saying, you can't say, "I love you, God," and spite the person next to you. Because you are supposed to what? You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that is one of the biggest 10 commandments, next to, you know, love your God with all your might, strength. Now let's read on from 35 through 36. "A good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account in that day of judgment." Guys, we're going to be judged according to our actions and our words. May something we say not hinder our going to heaven. I mean, it won't. The only thing that will is not accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but you're going to be patting out flames going into heaven. Matthew 6:21, "For where your heart and treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is your treasure? What do you treasure right now? Is that what you seek after, or do you seek after God? Is it even through uttering minds for what you stand for? Is it having the latest gadget? Is your idol, or what you seek after, the latest gadget, or is it getting your way instead of God's way? Is it trying to be the most popular person? I know a majority of us in here, we don't seek popularity. But to some, they do. They seek popularity, and that is where their heart is. I mean, have you ever heard some people speak, and they look beautiful outside, but when they talk, it's like you might as well have your mouth shut. And then we're reading in verse 37 and finishing it out. For by your words you will be justified, and for your words you will be condemned. Again, watch your words. Speak out of love and grace, just as our God and Father does. And then again, if we can all read verse Ephesians 4:29. It'll be on the overhead. Yes, Brennan? Okay. Let's just all read it together. It's an awesome verse. So it says, let no corruption word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We want to impart grace to those around us. God knows the heart of the fruit of you and your potential. Ask him for direction and watch him to work in your life. I constantly have to, ask God for forgiveness. It's a human thing. We're all in error. No one's perfect but Father. Just watch your words and ask for forgiveness if you stumble. And he'll be there as a righteous Father to correct and to forgive. I know it's a little short, but we'll go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us, even though we are not perfect people. Lord, may you be our direction and our guide. Lord, may we seek you in everything. May our inward appearance not be evil. May we seek you in everything. Lord, watch over the youth as they go on in their directions this week. May you cover them with your Holy Spirit. May you just empower them to speak your will. And Lord, again, I pray for the team in Africa that they are strengthened through you in the numbers as well. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all. In Jesus' name, amen.